Democrats and Republicans in Congress are pushing competing plans for police reform. But just how far apart are they?
When you look at both of these bills, probably about 80% of what each of them have are, we agree on.
That's Congressman Rodney Davis. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin, Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, June 24th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with whether Congress will extend COVID-19 jobless benefits as businesses reopen. Eric Stock talked to Central Illinois Republican Congressman Rodney Davis.
The Taylorville Republican says he wants to see where the economy and the pandemic are in a month before extending those $600 a week payments past July.
Because the last thing we want to do is incentivize people to remain on unemployment benefits when they can go back to their job that they had before since the economy is reopening again.
All states have started to reopen, but nearly two dozen states are seeing a rise in infection rates. The national unemployment rate is still over 13%. Davis says House Democrats should bargain with the GOP on police reforms rather than push through what he calls a partisan bill.
When you look at both of these bills, probably about 80% of what each of them have are, we agree on. Why can't we just pass a bill out of the Senate, pass a bill out of the House, come together, work out our differences?
Davis is co-sponsoring a measure that would enhance de-escalation training and require more transparency for things like use of force and no-knock warrants. Senate Democrats have called that measure woefully inadequate. Davis came to Normal Tuesday to help deliver 200 face shields that John Deere and the United Auto Workers produced. Gordy Halton with the Illinois Manufacturers Association says John Deere has donated thousands of face shields to healthcare workers and first responders and is one of several dozen manufacturers in the state that shifted production during the pandemic.
Manufacturers like John Deere stepped up, retooled their lines, and were able to produce, in this case, face shields, but also face masks or ventilators in sufficient quantities that now the PPE shortage seems to have abated somewhat.
McLean County Administrator Camille Rodriguez says she will also see if the county jail needs some of the face shields.
We are working 24/7 as all the other long-term care facilities and detention facilities are during COVID, and this is very helpful to us.
Rodriguez says all residents and staff at the nursing home have been tested for COVID-19. All tests came back negative. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The state says schools can reopen in August. Districts will have some latitude, but the state is strongly encouraging in-person instruction for kids under 13. The state will be providing masks for all students and staff, although no gatherings of more than 50 people will be allowed. No new cases of the coronavirus reported yesterday in McLean County, but the county's health department chief says recent cases here have been tied to people traveling out of state and some gatherings among friends. And a new documentary about the mural in Uptown Normal has now been released online. It's available on YouTube, called Making a Mural. The film, made by some ISU School of Communication students, won the Broadcast Education Association Award of Excellence at the Festival of Media Arts. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. As you've heard, the number of active coronavirus cases in McLean County is on the decline. It spiked in mid-May after a major outbreak at the Bloomington Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. That's a nursing home that government records show struggled to provide quality care and adequate staffing even before the virus hit. Over and over again, the same employees at Bloomington Rehab Nursing Home picked up the phone and called 911.
What is your name?
Cindy, RN.
And your name?
It's Brandy.
What's your name?
It's Shelley.
Cindy, RN.
It's Brandy.
Shelley.
It was Tuesday, May 12th, and the outbreak at Bloomington Rehab was about to go from bad to worse. 2 days before Mother's Day, the McLean County Health Department announced the first 5 positive tests at the nursing home. Soon, testing would turn up 54 others. On this Tuesday, a 72-year-old resident in room 16 at Bloomington Rehab was not doing well, so she called 911 on herself.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
It's Bloomington Rehab Center. I don't want to go to the hospital and they're not letting me go.
The caller was Marlene Cohen's Hill. She said she was a dialysis patient and she begged to be taken to the hospital.
Can somebody help me?
Well, you said that you've got your dialysis scheduled for this afternoon. You'll have to go to your appointment then.
I can't breathe. I can't catch my breath.
The paramedics were dispatched, but Marlene stayed at Bloomington Rehab. 2 days later, another 911 call. This time, it's an agency nurse calling for Marlene in room 16.
Tell me exactly what happened.
We have a resident. We just got the results back. She tested positive for COVID, but her her O2 stats have gone down in the 80s. She's shivering, yelling that her head is hurting, running a temperature, and she's on dialysis. But she's declining quickly.
Paramedics were sent again. This time, Marlene made it to OSF St. Joseph Medical Center, but she died the next day. She is one of 9 residents and 1 employee at Bloomington Rehab to die after contracting COVID-19. It's McLean County's worst outbreak to date. Audio recordings of 911 calls made from Bloomington Rehab show the crisis slowly unfolding over a week, one patient at a time. WGLT obtained the calls through a records request. They reveal a staff working under incredibly difficult circumstances as the virus spread. They ask again and again for deteriorating patients to be taken to the hospital.
We actually have a COVID positive patient right now, and we can't keep her stats up. She keeps dropping. Her temp's up to 102. I need to send her in.
They even warned the paramedics.
So make sure they're prepared to dress for possible. We're starting to get results in.
Okay.
But it's Marlene's case that stands out. Peoria-based Peterson Healthcare owns Bloomington Rehab, and Senior Vice President of Operations Greg Wilson says he was not familiar with her case specifically. When asked if it's common for residents to call 911 for themselves rather than a nurse, he says yes, that would be unusual. Her family has hired a lawyer who is reviewing the case. The outbreak at this particular nursing home has subsided. Wilson says they have no active cases right now. Because they'd already restricted visitors when the outbreak began, Wilson says their working theory is that an asymptomatic employee or other healthcare professional brought it into the building. And it's not just that building. The coronavirus has ravaged long-term care facilities across the country. Over half of Illinois' 6,600 deaths are tied to such facilities. The state recently began requiring all nursing homes to test every resident and employee. That's already turned up at least one positive asymptomatic case of the virus at a Bloomington healthcare facility. Before we let you go, the Bloomington City Council will have a redo tonight at 7:30 of a virtual meeting they tried to do Monday that got scuttled because of some technical issues. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's Elite Off comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin-Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedule information at CIRA.com.